This is another live radio link up brought to you by the Government Communications GCIS.
It is a very good evening and welcome to the program. We are live from the GCIS studios in Pretoria. My name is Sean Muraudzi, and of course, I am not alone. I'm with the Department of Social Development. And today we thought we'd take on a very heavy issue that has become very prevalent when we watch our social media, when we watch on television. There's always a hint or an idea about the crime of trafficking in persons or human trafficking. And of course, such a big issue need some assistance. So you can then get in touch with us if you feel this one is for you. 0800 142 446, that is our contact line. It's a toll-free number if you're calling from a telecom line, and you can also send us voice notes on WhatsApp. It's 0659355488 0659355488. And I did say I'm not alone. I'm with the Department of Social Development. With me in the studio, I'm joined by Mr. Butikulwane, who is the Deputy Director, I would think, for Victim Empowerment Program. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you.
We are also joined by Mr. Bongani Ngumalo, who is a social worker, and I believe with the Department of Social Development.
Yes, indeed, sir. And thank you very much for having us.
Fantastic. And I think a very good evening to you also tuned in to the program. We're going to be together for the next hour. And I think this one is a very important one. If you are a parent, you are a grandmother, you are a guardian, you are a caregiver, you're involved somewhere, somehow, in looking after someone or being a caregiver to someone, it will be important for you to stay tuned for the next hour as we discuss and understand what all these concepts mean and what you can do as a person to either stop or be aware of what the crime of trafficking in human beings is all about. I think, Mr. Kulwane, let's start in the beginning. What is human trafficking or trafficking in persons?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mlauzi. Human trafficking or trafficking persons, so it's a sale of human beings, you know, for exploitation. So people are being enslaved, and exploited, you know, for other people to make money or profit, you know, out of, exploiting them. So, they are recruited. There are people who are recruiting others so as to sell them. And then, we have an act, the Trafficking in Persons Act, which somehow has criminalized, you know, all these activities that would ultimately result in someone being exploited. Like, as I mentioned, recruitment, someone that transports them. You know, someone can be paid to transport another person to a place where they will be exploited. Someone can keep them in their house, that is harboring. It's also illegal if a person is going to be exploited at the end. You receive, in recruiting, they do use force. Sometimes they threaten people, or they can just deceive you, you know, give you false information, promising you a job somewhere else, or maybe a study opportunity. And knowing that at the destination, you are going to be exploited. It can be either sexually, or you can be forced to work, you know, for no wages, or maybe very, very limited wages, and domestic servitude. Or sometimes they even traffic people, you know, for their body parts, you know, organ harvesting. So that means someone else's organs are taken from them and used, you know, another person, you know, for them to survive. So it's like, as I mentioned, it is indeed the sale of other human beings for the benefit or profit of other people.
So it has elements of slavery in its sense.
Indeed, it is called modern day slavery.
Yes. So it has reincarnated itself. Now, how prevalent is trafficking in humans or human trafficking in South Africa as a country?
The crime is called a hidden crime. So hidden, which means, you know, it's not easy, but it is very, it's quite prevalent. People are being trafficked from, within the country.
Okay.
Taken from maybe the rural parts or maybe impoverished areas and taken to, you know, affluent areas, you know, where they are exploited. And people are also being trafficked from outside of the country. You know, South Africa is it's referred to as a source, a transit, and also a destination country, you know, for trafficking in person. So which means source, there are people that are trafficked from South Africa to other parts of the world or in the continent. So it is very, very serious.
And then one, then, I mean, it's very shocking that in South Africa is described as those three things. They move through this country, they end up in this country, and they're also leaving from this country. And you're talking about also the issue of internal trafficking within the country. Now, what do we find to be prevalent in terms of when we then prosecute these cases? Do we find that it's mostly for sexual exploitation, or is it more towards labor when you're talking about the forced movement of people within the country?
Majority, I would say maybe 70 to 80%, yes, it's for sexual exploitation. In the sex industry, young women are forced into sex work. You may think that she's voluntarily decided, you know, to become a sex worker, only to find that there is someone that is watching her when she's in the streets of, you know, Hillbro or Sunnyside here. So this person that's watching them is the one that would take money, and yeah, she's a slave, and they feed them with drugs. So normally it's you'd find that she is introduced into drugs and she becomes hooked, and once hooked, then to pay, you know, for the next feed,
must go work,
must go and work. Yes, so there's yeah, it really goes hand in hand with you know, drug trafficking. Yeah.
Bongani, let me bring you into the conversation here. I think also at a basic level, who is being trafficked?
Okay. No, thank you very much for that question. I think everybody can be a victim of trafficking, be it a woman, be it a man, be it a child, an elderly. Everybody stands, you know, to be a victim of trafficking. But I think I should point out the fact that majority of the victims are women. And I'll explain why. My colleague here just explained, you know, that some women are trafficked for sex, you know. These are selfish people who are looking for financial gains, you know, who wants to make money out of the bodies of these women. But to answer your question, everybody, you know, does tend to be a victim of trafficking.
I'm asking that question as a prelude to the next question to say, if we know who is likely to be a victim, then maybe we'll know how to likely advise them to avoid being a victim. And then I think the next question becomes, how does then one avoid becoming a victim of human trafficking or trafficking in persons, or prevent someone else being dragged into that space? You can take it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, there are red flags, let's say, in relationships. You know, we talk of so-called blessers and blessees in our country. So, and at the same time, there are those types of relationships where maybe it wasn't even the plan to traffic someone. You know, it's like the person hasn't really consciously decided that I want to, you know, sell, you know, my partner. But yeah, what happens is I think young people should be always look out for these red flags. Like, for instance, if you have an intimate partner who really comes out very strongly, you know, doesn't take no for an answer, promises you good things, and, you know, that are too good to be true, and expects you to just accept everything you know, without questioning, you know, in this that kind of relationship. And or maybe someone promises you a job, but they also come out so strongly that they expect that you should take it. Mm. And then even threaten that, or maybe just blackmail you and, you know, saying, well, if you don't take it, it will be open for another person. You know, such things. Or maybe a person that tries to isolate you from your friends and relatives.
Mm.
So it's like trying to keep you closer to them so that you cannot be able to share, and even tells you to share with your friends and relatives, and even tells you that surely if you share with them, they may discourage you, you know, from even pursuing whatever. So rather keep it between the two of us, you know, such things. Because if you feel uncomfortable, you are supposed to share with the people that you trust.
Mm.
You know, it's like you feel uncomfortable in the relationship, you should share with them. But someone wants to just own you. And I think those are red flags. And in the case of young people, let's say teenagers, teenagers also, they are easily manipulated, obviously. And it is important for parents to make sure that they stay closer and sort of establish a very, very close trust relationship, you know, with their teenage children, so that the children can be open and share, you know, whenever they feel uncomfortable with, you know, their relationships with friends or older friends, you know, outside. Yes.
Now, when we talk about younger people, teenagers, Bongani, to bring you back in, where are these people being trafficked from? Where are the locations that are more vulnerable for young people or to be targeted or to be recruited, if not abducted and kidnapped?
Okay. I'd say majority of this environment, right, will be is social media, right? Social media has really played, unfortunately, a role in the abduction of especially our young people, our teens. You find, you know, a young person, right, on social media sharing, you know, their whereabouts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to the mall, you know, location they are sharing. They are going wherever, you know, with friends. That exposes them or renders them vulnerable, you know, to trafficking, because the trafficker will know, it will be easy, you know, for them to track your movement, to know where you are, to know what time, you know, you get home, you know, the people that you hang around with and all that. So I think it is very important, and I think it's a responsibility for parents really to play ball and really, you know, try and be responsible when it comes to teaching their children, you know, safety tips, to say it's okay to have a phone, it's okay to have a smartphone, you know, it's okay to post your pictures, it's okay to share, you know, look. But these are unfortunately the repercussions or the outcome. You know, you might end up being a victim of trafficking. So as you do it, as you hang around with your friends, be conscious that there is this pandemic, human trafficking, and you don't want to be a state.
Now, Mr. Kulwane, I think just to continue, there's this other term we also hear when it refers to young people called grooming for the intentions of trafficking. Just to add on to that, how does this one come about, the grooming part? And as a guardian or a parent, how does one then spot signs of grooming?
Okay, let's say, as my colleague mentioned, social media, you know, Facebook. A person, let's say a trafficker, can study, you know, the child or the girl or the woman. It can be a young lady studying, you know, reading their posts in social media and, you know, gaining a clearer understanding of the type of person that she is, what is it that she likes and all those things. So obviously, because now they have that understanding, then they will connect. Obviously, become friends with them on Facebook maybe, and then sort of promises all those things that I'll promise you do this and that and that, and you'd find that The promises are things that even the parents cannot afford to provide to the child. So obviously what happens is the child is now drawn to this person and then drawn to them slowly, slowly. And there will be a time when the person would say, let us meet at such and such a place. And unfortunately, that could be the end. So as my colleague mentioned, if parents don't really establish that good relationship, you know, an open type of relationship, when children feel uncomfortable, you know, with the people that they interact with, they will keep it to themselves. So it's important for parents to make sure that, you know, they keep, you know, in touch and know what their children are, you know, the activities both online and offline, you know, and spend quality time with them and, you know, who they hang out with, you know, and all those things. Yeah. If not, what happens is this person somehow comes and becomes a replacement to the parents. And if the child becomes isolated from their parents, unfortunately, it's easier then for this person to then take her wherever they want to take them to.
I think just to add on that, let's give advice or guidance to guardians and parents. What must, therefore, we look out for in children that we feel are being groomed or are now victims of an intention to traffic them? What are the telltale signs or the red flags that one must look at to say there's a change in this child's behavior or now they're starting to behave in manners that we don't understand? Mm-hmm. What are those some of the signs that a parent can look out for?
Okay. I think we'll share.
Okay. I think one of the signs that parents should really look out for, it could be a change in the child's, you know, academic performance or school performance. Because as this little child, you know, is isolated from family, is subjected to kind of isolation and all that, it might have, you know, a psychological impact. So it can also extend, you know, to their academic performance. So I think it's important as parents that, as my colleague has earlier indicated, that we monitor school progress, we monitor the child, you know, the way they behave around the house, the way they communicate, you know, with everybody in the house. It can be telling, and sorry, if we are ignorant, you know, of that, it might be too late, you know, to save the child. So I think those are some of the things that we should look out for as parents.
Yeah, I think maybe to add, suddenly the child, you know, speaks of, you know, sex, promiscuous languages. Yeah, kaningning u fitlheleng ngwana a setsa itse go bua ka thobalano. Those are things tse o ka di lebellang. And sometimes o lemoga gore go setse a na le di-friends, kore ditsala tsa older friends, maybe an older boyfriend, and suddenly o setse a na le bo di-phone tse di expensive. I mean, tse leng gore, you know, as a parent, wena you cannot even afford to buy the for ngwana. Yeah, and to spend nako e ntsi mo social media, why isolate? You know, hasana, yeah. I mean, rekare e well ke teenager motlomong kore wa gola ke rata gore ke stage, but I mean, it's like, yes, e ka nna stage, but at the same time, if it's a parent o le very close, you know, o share le ngwana, those things obviously ngwana o tlo di mention or no man, there's something that is really troubling me. So I think as parents, those are things to look out for in addition to, you know, academic poor performance, as colleague mentioned. Yes.
Now we see that Ashungwana has now started displaying these signs or the red flags. I think acquired some gadgets that cost more than the parents can easily afford. You can say, how the child now dresses does not meet the economics of this household. Mm-hmm. As the parents, how then do we then intervene? Now, what about your intervention to prevent?
Okay. As parents, as I mentioned, we have to befriend our children. Very close relationship. And, you know, it's not easy gore ka buisana le yena o itse gore tlo simolla kae, but motlhomo ka simolla ka tsela e gore o mmolelle gore ke fitile mo staging sa gago, where you are, you know, old as I am, I was once your age, and there's nothing e o ka mpolelelang yona e leng gore tlo mmakatsa, le ga e le gore o irile something e leng gore o a tshaba go e bua ore ke ntho e leng gore e tlo ntshosa, rather be open o mpolelele so that ke kgone go go advise. So that's what the parents should do, gore a etse ngwana gore a feel-e gore no matter what mistakes they may have done, at least they are still being accepted ka mo gae, wa bona. And then being accepted, that's when ngwana will open up and then a bua, you know, dilo tse di mo tshwenyang. Yeah, and a mmolelele gore go ntle kwa you may meet people ba e leng gore ba tla go tshepisa le godimo le lefatshe. Someone may sort of propose to you, an older guy, a re no ke tla go irela this and this and this, knowing gore the parents are how rena as parents re ka se kgone di afford. So but then unfortunately we o tshwanetse o itse gore motho o maikemisetso a gae it's not really to shower you ka dilo tseo, o expect something bigger in return. And so then you must make sure gore if a go kopa something e leng gore e go etsa o feel uncomfortable, o seka tshaba go bua o re bolelele gore no, I really feel uncomfortable ka di demands or di requests tse di tswang from this other person. So you would be surprised, ke a ba bolelela bo botlhe batswadi ko ga, you will be surprised if o ka bua le ngwana ka tsela e yalo, o tlo open up, o tlo bona gore ke na le tsala, I have a very very good friend who is my parent, and we think this is can really help gore itibele trafficking in persons.
Okay, maybe just to add on that, I think this is where the issue of seeking professional help comes in. You have this child, Ekaya, you know, who is unruly, who comes back home late, you know, is disrespecting everyone. I think it's important also to consider, you know, going to social workers, for instance, telling them, you know, there's this situation, Endlin. I cannot seem to control this child. How do I go about, you know, dealing with this unruly child? Social workers are trained, you know, to understand the behavior, you know, yomntwana, because you must know umntwana goes through different stages of development.
Mm.
So there are certain, you know, stages where, you know, they'll be, you know, they come across as unruly and all that. So social workers will help you empower with parenting skills to say, if such stage, you know, is taking place, this is how you approach it. And it will also save us or save you as a parent, you know, at time, because most of the time we are told that we're trying to instill respect on the child. Umntwana siyahlukumeza, you know, uyashaywa, umntwana, you know, when there are all sort of things. And as a parent, at the end, we cannot tolerate when you're thinking and managing, you know, in the name of trying to discipline your child. So I am saying social workers are there to assist you. Be able to reach out to them and they'll assist you in terms of empowering you with parenting skills so that you can have a healthy, you know, relationship with your child.
Uba Moses joins us from Eshowe. Sawubona Uba Moses.
Ngibingelele abanjani?
Siyaphila njani?
Aw ngiyaphila kakhulu Nkosi yami. Ukhuluma no Moses Khumalo la owaseshowe eMbongolwane.
Mm.
Yeah. No baba lana Moses Khumalo khona but lento le ebengifuna ukuthi ngiyireze ehlokweni esenkulumo esanamhlanje. Uyazi ukuthi khona lento okuthola ukuthi iy'ngane zikhula zihlala nesalukwazi. Mhlampe umama akasekho, ubaba akasekho. And then uthola ukuthi lapho isalukwazi noma sizama but ukuthi iy'ngane siyifundise sithi look after kuzona. Kodwa manje khona but lento ukuthi uthole ukuthi iy'ngane uzithola but zingena kwi-crime kwesinye isikhathi uyithi thole ingane zingena ocantsini olungaphephile why uthole ukuthi inkinga but lonto yenzwa ukuthi akekho umuntu omzali othi look after kubona situation ekanjalo ngilungisa kanjani ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi abantwana abakanjalo bakhule befundisekile and then baphephe kule situation le. Ngiyabonga.
Asibonge Bob Moses. That is Bob Moses from Eshowe, and I'm sure he would just like assistance ukuthi mase kunje konakele kwenziwa kanjani.
Okay, I think, thank you very much, Bob Moses, for your call. I think it goes back to the issue, you know, of reaching out to UMA social workers, because I can imagine a situation where Ugogo Ekaya, you know, is taking care of, you know, five or so children.
Mm.
And some of them, seba reach a lesser stage, ukuthi manje basa control again. So we are saying, and I think we are going to be able to share my numbers with you so that Ugogo, that Ubaba Moses is talking about, akwazi mhlambe ukusifonela e social work, because the number it, by the way, it's free of charge. I don't know whether I should share
the number, please.
With you now. Okay, the number it, it's 0800-428-428. Lapho sinema social workers. Lahlalalinze ikholi yakho. We don't close. We are available 24/7. And my social workers way too. Akhuluma lonke ihlobo, you know, literally. We know ukuthi we've got 11 official languages eMzansi. So it doesn't matter which part of the country you are coming from. Ubuya eMpumalanga ukhuluma Swati njengami, akhona ukuthola ama social workers la khuluma Swati. Ubuya eLimpopo, you know, solar speed is even and all that. So we are saying Bogogo, ninga safari in silence, Lucito Likonan, come forward, nisfonele, and start what good since it then.
0800-428-428-247, that is the number to contact. But also, if you want to also share your thoughts, your questions, your views on what we are talking about, trafficking in human beings, specifically on young people, call us on 0800-142-446, 0800-142-446, or you can send us a voice note, 065-935-5488. We are with the Department of Social Development, and we are talking about trafficking in human beings. And of course, one cannot just talk about the high level issue of trafficking without understanding ama root causes. Kuti isukela phi this thing? How do you see it, and how does it manifest emphakathini, and also how do we stop it? I think now, just to take it maybe to a basic form, there is this relationship between ukhlupheka kwabantu in terms of poverty and socioeconomic conditions and situations are posvela khona, whether you are staying in Mkhukhwini, whether you're in the rural areas where you really don't have a lot going on for you in terms of ukudla ukuthi yolala njani, and then whether uzoba ufudumele and such. And then these issues make people vulnerable to being trafficked, to being exploited, to having these unhealthy blesser-blessee relationships, because now these people who are involved in this, they know how to see the people that are broken, the people that don't have proper figures in life to guide them, and then they exploit that situation. What then do we do about those people?
Okay, yeah, I think, all right. Majority of the people by Linkuri, the vulnerable, those that are from impoverished backgrounds, low socioeconomic backgrounds. But Gerada Ublela Batukiri, it's not only because of poverty.
Mm.
You know, there are children coming from affluent, you know, places that end up being trafficked. But yeah, the most vulnerable kibone ba tswang from poor families. Yes, Rikari, It's important to people should be empowered. Should be empowered. Well, as a department, as you know, we have those programs. We have the body grants and, you know, all those things. Yes, Renalitone, and then there are also other programs telling who they are meant to empower, you know, young people economically, body bursaries and the like. So, yeah, you know, whichever way. But I take it people in communities should make sure who you know, they support, you know, as much as they can. There are, you know, organizations, there are like men's organizations, you know, there are also other NGOs. Yeah, utilize those as much as you can. My colleague mentioned, you know, they use social workers, you know, are there to support. And people should really reach out, you know, for help. I think that's the best way. Motutswantse hore no. A leke hore a batlisise hore nka kreya thuso ko kae. And, you know, instead of resorting to, you know, something like that. The unfortunate thing ke hore there are people ba leng hore maikemisetso a bona is to exploit other people. But I think to counter that, let us see other people coming most from society and, you know, providing as much support as they can, you know, to help others out of, you know, difficult circumstances.
Mongani, asikhulume ngale ndaba yabazali ke sebadayisa ingane zabo. Bathola ukuthi ingane ine 13, 14, so khona elinye ekhehla lihlala ngale emva kwentaba. Lithi bathi namfasi ke base bathola ukuthi bayadayisela ingane, akuthola ikomo embini ethathu. Athi yena so set to so right because khona that other situation where it's abazali. Ama guardians who are now involved in the actual trafficking of lababantu. And sometimes na laba besikhuluma ngabo bebadayisayo emzimba yabo etrateni. Kunobana le ndaba yokuthi uma so umbuza kahle ukuthi uvelaphi, why ulana. Ethi no yena bamthatha emhlambe elusikisiki wayeza lana maybe bafake entakamisweni. Mase abalekile abuyele ekhaya baze bamlande. Bafike babathembisa izinto, babanike izinto, bamthathe futhi aphinde abuyele estrateni. Mase kunjalo kwenziwa kanjani?
Yeah, I think indaba yokuthi ngisoko bantwana, it's a very painful one because and unfortunately iyendeka, we've seen it a number of times, you know, yendeka whereby children as young as 10, 11, you know, bathengiswa to older men so that the family, you know, can get, you know, those 2-3 cows or that's money, especially in rural areas. It does happen a lot. And sithi kubazali, that is a criminal offense. If you are found doing that, if you are found to tell someone or tell to an older man, emphakathini, you don't deserve, you know, to be among, you know, the community. As social workers, we will make sure ukuthi that particular child gets justice. We'll make sure ukuthi you are going to go to jail. Because how do you do that? Sell umntwana as young as 12, 13 years to this old man who's nearing his grave. It's wrong and it's against umthetho wase South Africa. And we are saying to communities, if you see it happening, report it to the police. If you can't report it to the police, at least report it to us as social workers, and we will make sure ukuthi we hold that particular parent responsible.
Let me add, the Trafficking in Persons, the Prevention and Combating of Trafficking in Persons Act of 2013, Act Number 7, it outlaws what is referred to as a forced marriage. So then there is this practice, ukuthwala. So then ukuthwala yone as a practice. It's not illegal, but the only problem is if it happens, is a minor. If it is a minor, then it's statutory rape, you know, it's like it is illegal. But at the same time, even if ukutwala muto sitting ali matured, but ilihur ha consent. So it's like ukutwala is only allowed if, you know, it's between two consenting adults. So Yes, who in that way, where a 10-year or 12-year-old is married, according to this act, the person who marries her has committed an offense, will be prosecuted. Bazali, who negotiated the lobola, and then Bagrea Cheleteo, Libona, they have committed an offense, they can be prosecuted via the act. Everyone else, you know, everyone else. It's like, as the act says, you know, harboring, transporting, and all those things. Everyone who was involved who committed an offense in terms of this law, this act. And yeah, so surely this is how we can fight it. Make sure, you know, the act is implemented and it's applied. And whoever does that, you know, has to then face the law.
We have Dinaka from Mohoti, Hamantata on the line. Tobe,
Lekai.
Rona Lekai.
Rona, Kitinaka Wakamteka Mohoti.
Eh.
Put you shake in a Roliona as Shiona. I carry Kimwari Sati, Kiliwari Seneki Honorabona or Bana Kamurai, Mama Rava Sukumi. So mama a sa ba tlhokomeleng ke gona go bona gore bana ba ke ba banenyana ba tswa tsileng ba thoma go kitima le di sugar daddy gore at least ba gone go bea borotho ja pleng ba gone go lala ba jile ge ke tsema tapa gore ke gone go bolela le mama bona mama bona ke motho e leng gore mohlomongwe o ithatela jwala bo di drugs gana nako ya go tlhokomela bana ba gage ke nyaka go tseba gore jalo ka moagisane nka gona go thusa bana ba jwane ke bolelela fa especially re lebeletse ba banenyana ba bane go kotsi ya gore ba ka tla ba wela ka gare ga ditau tsa go ba traffica ke thusa bana ba bjang jwalo ka moagisane a ke part of family a ke selo.
All right, Dinaka, I think Batloli Araba. I think a question is clear to say, what can you do as a neighbor, as someone close by, a family, community member who can see something? And they try to intervene by talking to the adult or the guardian, and then you find that that person kimoto wabujalwa and the drugs anana kuya utileja udirabya. Dinaka, I think what Lori Araba is hard.
Thank you.
Asiuta.
Okay. Ngari, well, hoyaka mulao. You know, if you there's a duty to report. Yeah, whether you are a citizen or you are an official, yeah, government, or everyone has to report. But I mean, in this case, you know, katsile aus dinaka bonanka bona ha ho so be clear gore go na le trafficking mo pele, but bana ba they are vulnerable to be trafficked. So my colleague Bongani u mentionile gore you can call, you know, our number 0800-428-428. That's another way. But I mean, who reported to the nearest office of the social workers, you can do it so that they can intervene. But if you are not able to report, then you can pick up a phone and refer, you know, the case so that we can intervene as a Department of Social Development. Yes, and yeah, maybe because of lack of knowledge. Tsela e o tshwantse a berekisane le bana yang. And there's a possibility or le yena a ka changiwa in the process. So you may have even helped her, you know, by doing something, by taking action. So I think nanga mokopa hore if a sa khone go ya to the nearest office ya the social workers in her area, at least a re founele, and then there will be intervention from our side.
Bongan?
Yes, Bob. No, as my colleague is saying, Tina, as social workers, we believe in second chance, right? We understand, Uti, there are so many things going on around. And you might be one of those parents, right, going through hardships and all that. To an extent, Uti, you end up tempted, you know, to go into alcohol, you know, you are drowned and all that. So the reason why we encourage abantu ukuthi basifonele, it's specifically because we want to make sure, we want to try our best and be satisfied ukuthi we have tried all we can ugu assist lo mama lo to change, you know, to be a better mom, you know, that will nurture her kids, that will love and care for her kids. And we go as far as ensuring ukuthi she also goes for a rehab, right? But that should be a voluntary thing, manje, because we cannot push you, you know, as an individual. Because no, by force, hamba. We can't, we don't have the right to do that. But if you are willing to change, we are there to hold your hand, you know, and make sure at the end you become the better version of yourself. So I'm also reiterating the point, Oguti, please call us and we will do all we can, you know, to empower this woman with parenting skills. We'll make sure Oguti, some also because she might be, as I said, going through a number of things. It might be, you know, a marital issue. It might be this and that, you know, issues at work and all that. So siyakhona ukudiga deeper, you know, and also try and assist, you know, wherever we can.
0800-428-428. That is the number that they can call if they want Usit.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Now, we were talking about something before the call, and we were talking about Indaba Yokuthwala, and also earlier on we mentioned that trafficking is a hidden crime in itself. I want us to look into this issue of religious marriages that happen maybe within maybe the Muslim community or any other community that is a close community, wherein within their religion it is seen as okay or acceptable that once they feel someone has started to go on their periods, they are ready to be married off, and then they are able to conclude those marriages between themselves. I know it's difficult to penetrate those communities, but I'm just saying, what could be done to really try to do away with that practice, even though it's a staunch religious practice? It could not just be with Muslim people, but I'm just using that as an example.
Okay, it stays, a minor cannot be married. As long as we are within the borders of South Africa.
Yes.
Marrying a minor is a crime. And within those religious groupings, you'd find that there's a leader there are leaders, you know, who are pushing, you know, for this kind of practice. But at my observation, Kuri, in, you know, how society works, you'd find that there are individuals that are not comfortable what they are seeing, you know, those kinds of things. And maybe they are not able to speak up. And I think these are the people that maybe you should be used, you know, as gatekeepers into that community. Important, Kehuri, we have to create much awareness as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We have to, like, go into communities, and whoever, you know, organizations that are existing in communities, they should, you know, pump, you know, the information. As we are doing, we are talking right now, we are creating awareness, and let's create as much awareness as possible, because this is a hidden crime. And being a hidden crime, if we don't talk about it, people will not know. And those that are being trafficked will not even know who they are being violated. So, yeah. So then I take it that's the only, that's the best way, you know, to penetrate such groupings, because I don't know of any other way, but we just have to create awareness and empower people with information and knowledge. They should know their rights, you know, and once they do, and surely people will see or know what is happening to me is not supposed to be happening, and so they will take action. But and another thing, it's the Department of Social Development. In fact, our mandate in the combating of trafficking persons, our mandate as a department is provision of care and support to victims.
Mm-hmm.
Sessions, shelters, there are shelters that are accredited to provide services to victims of trafficking where they can be supported, you know, to deal with whatever trauma that they've experienced. So, which means we create awareness, but if there are people that really need, you know, our intervention moving forward, they can also be referred. Even that the 428 428 428 can also link them up with shelters that can accommodate them. And within shelters, they will then receive support and counseling to deal with the trauma. And once they feel out they are much better, then they will be able to like stand on their own. I'm talking here because we've seen people really lives changing, you know, people that have survived trafficking. And I think it is possible.
I think that's where we would wanted to take it to see now from the victim empowerment element. But we've got a voice note that we'd like to listen to. Can we hear the voice note?
Good evening, Sean, and good evening to your guest in studio. My name is Thabo Colleen from Makaro. I just want to find out, why is it so easy for human trafficking to take place with all the security measures we have in the country? I'm asking this so to find out as to where do we need to strengthen? Does the country need to strengthen its security, or do parents need to be more vigilant, or do we as community members need to be more vigilant? I think that would help. Thank you.
All right. That's the question.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Thabo. I think it's a very good question. But then, we've just mentioned Huri, it's a hidden crime. So it is easy. I think as we are talking now, traffickers themselves are also sitting and planning, you know, how to traffic people. So, yeah, and yes, it requires really intelligence. Yeah, but being hidden as it is, and as I also mentioned, Huri, creation of awareness is the solution. So then, let us have, you know, communities, structures, churches, everyone else talking about trafficking and what people can do to protect themselves. And yes, you mentioned, Thabo Hapehuri, as parents, we have to be vigilant. The information that we've shared, and I would advise people to seek more information, empower themselves with knowledge, you know, and as a parent, you know, understand, you know, how social media works. And as we also mentioned, Huri, try to build a very strong relationship and open communication with your child. I think in that way, it will help. I can say yes, if you maybe you're talking also of borders, the trafficking of people from outside, there is, has declined a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in fact, worldwide. I mean, these are, I think it was shared also by the United Nations that it has declined, and it's because most countries are sort of tightening their borders. And I think also with South Africa, you know, there's so much really happening in border control. So, but then there's still more to be done. But I really believe that, you know, education, awareness, empowerment, I think not only empowering parents, but even, you know, the children, the young people that would be vulnerable. I think it will take us somewhere.
0800-142-446. That is our toll-free line. If you'd like to take part in the conversation or you'd like to share a story or an anecdote, 065-935-5488. That's 065-935-5488. That is the number to get in touch with. And I know we were talking about shelters earlier on, but let's look at some of the care and support that you provide to the survivors or people that are potential victims. Now, I'm feeling like the situation here at home is no longer conducive, and I feel like Malume wants to sell me off somewhere else. What could I simply just walk into the social worker's office and report this case and receive the shelter and the care? Because I think one of the fears one has is, I go and tell on these parents, then what happens to me?
Okay. I think at the Gender-Based Violence Command Center, how we work is, we provide online counseling,
okay,
right, to victims. It could be a victim of domestic violence, it could be a victim of trafficking. It can even be a perpetrator, you know, themselves, you know, who comes out and say, look, man, the situation is not conducive in Lini. I'm a violent person, so many things are going around and all that. So we do receive a lot of such calls, right, where somebody calls in and say, look, man, I suspect, you know, there's something untowards happening. Kamakhelwane, umama, you know, is actually using abantwana, you know, to make money. Because that's another sort of trafficking, you understand? They are using these kids for sex work so that the entire family can survive. So in such cases, we are able, you know, to say, all right, we are going to refer the case to the area social workers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, there need to be a background. We need to ask what's happening. You know, we need to ask who's involved. You know, we need to ask how many are these kids? How old are they? Are they studying? Where are they studying? So that we can have interviews with them. You know, if it's impossible for us to go home and have interviews with them, we can then go to their school, you know, sihlale phansi nabo, so that they are able to relay, you know, their ordeals at home. So what we do, like I said, say send a referral to area social worker so that they can go and investigate, right? And if we feel ukuthi really, really, really there's a need, you know, ukuthi sithatha abantwana siba remove from that toxic environment, siba fake in a shelter. We are able, there are so many shelters, you know, VEP shelters that we are working with around the country, the entire country. So siyabheka ukuthi bahlala kuphi, what's the nearest a facility or shelter that can help accommodate them. We don't end there. We do constant follow-ups, you know, make sure ukuthi umntwana uthethwe, wayiswa a shelter, from a shelter uphatheke kahle, is receiving counseling. Umntwana uyaqhubeka also, because in the process of providing psychosocial support, we also want to make sure ukuthi the process of going to school is not disturbed. We must make sure ukuthi uyaqhubeka uyaya esikolweni. Uma esikolweni, is there safety? Umntwana akekho exposed to secondary victimization and all that. So we make sure from the first step right to the last step, we make sure ukuthi we do follow up. If kune element of crime and we are convinced ukuthi la an offense was committed, we help that particular victim to open a case, you know, with the police. We make sure what it is, a case number, you know, existing. We also make sure, you know, if mhlambu dinga protection order and all that, we advise them, you know, to go to a court and apply for a protection order. And yeah, so basically that's what we do.
It sounds very comprehensive, and I think someone ohlele ekhaya manje can able to then understand ukuthi you don't just intervene kuthiwa ufike ama social worker wahlala wa interview ingane then wahamba kwaphela lapho. It's a full on process where it's very comprehensive. There are follow ups to that. There is an investment in the well being of that particular child.
Indeed, yes.
Now, what we are talking about, we're talking about a crime, trafficking in human beings or human trafficking. Ideally, you are working with other partners and stakeholders in order to fulfill this mandate, because there's elements of ubugebengu inside, all types of criminality, all types of acts being broken, and imthetho yasemzansi. Who are some of the stakeholders, and how is this working together working?
Okay, yeah, thanks for that one. As I mentioned, Uri, our role mandate is provision of care and support,
yes,
to victims. Yeah, but I mean, traffickers have to be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
They should be arrested. They should be investigated. There should be investigations. So I would say DPCI is also very, DPCI, the Hawks, mm-hmm. they are also very actively involved. So I was thinking that scenario, Malume planning to sell or maybe marry her. Obviously, if it can be investigated and how about clear her Malume, you know, was like committing this crime and should be prosecuted, obviously there will certainly be prosecution, yeah, Malume or whoever gets involved. So even prosecution, as I said, they have to be prosecuted. We the Department of Justice is also involved. Mm-hmm. When victims, it's like when a victim is identified, there's also there's also need for medical attention, mm-hmm. And health is also involved. So the act itself has allocated roles of all government departments in law enforcement and also in internal social services. What should be done to fight even non-governmental organizations, and I also mentioned our shelters as well. Some are NGOs; they are not government owned shelters. So it is in fact we have what we call the National Intersectoral Committee on Trafficking in Persons in this country, which is chaired by Justice Department. And we also have what we call Rapid Response Team. If a case of trafficking is identified, a victim is identified, the team members, Rapid Response Team members, should come together and decide as to how they are going to handle the case. And in provinces, yes, we have provincial task teams, rehabilitation, rapid response teams in provinces, in all the 9 provinces. So there are these government departments involved and playing their role, yes.
I think in closing, it's always important to ask this question. Are we doing enough? What more could be done?
Yeah, it's not enough. It's not enough. There's a lot that can be done. And like as I mentioned, Huri, traffickers themselves, I think we are dealing with very, very intelligent people here.
It's organized crime.
It is organized crime, yes. Yeah. So what we have to do is to make sure, Huri Liruna, our organizing, is up to standard and everyone doing their best. Remember, the victim that has been identified is provided psychosocial support.
Mm.
This person is traumatized by the trafficking. And we have to deal with trauma, and that's where we come in. But at the same time, this person will be a witness in a case of trafficking.
Mm.
And it has to be a very, very credible witness that will assist prosecution, or at the end, they should really find this person guilty who committed the crime and will have to get. So we are, I think we're doing our best, but there's still more that we can do. And with the assistance here, the families, with the assistance here, community members, church groupings, everyone else doing their part, I think as South Africa, we can really fight and win this battle.
Bongani, you are a social worker, so you're obviously on the receiving end of most of the victims in terms of care and support. What more could be done to make your work simpler and more effective?
No. I think we all have the responsibility, to break sort of the culture of silence, because majority of these cases or issues of human trafficking and all that, as you are investigating, you find that the red flag was there, or somebody knew about it, but perhaps for some reason they decided to look away and then they keep quiet. So I am challenging each and every one of us, to play their bit, in fighting this problem. And unless all communities, hold hands and report, I don't think we will win, this battle. So I am saying, let us report, let us break the silence. Report it to the police. Report it to us as social workers. And the good part with us is that we make sure that your identity is protected. We do get a lot of those cases whereby somebody wants to report, but they want to remain anonymous. We have a duty, to make sure that your identity is protected, so that you are able, to report such cases, so that we are able, as well as social workers, to come through and really, really assist. Another thing, like we've been saying, as parents, let's make sure we develop a healthy relationship with our kids so that they are comfortable, you know, speaking out when they pick up something, you know, untoward. Thank you very much.
And then I think your last word is?
Recupa communities, please. Whenever a person is out of trafficking, Oilinkuru was trafficked mainly for sexual exploitation. Communities should embrace them, should support them as much as they can, so that they can assist in the healing, you know, of this person after being exposed. There are challenges where we find Huri, members of communities and families, they tend to, you know, drive people out of, you know, like, incurring the stigma of being trafficked and also working in the sex industry. It causes many to even go back to the sex industry after they've been rescued. Why? Because then they are not really accepted in communities. But if communities open up and accept and embrace the people, I think we'll be able to move forward and they will heal, you know, emotionally and continue with their lives. Thank you very much.
That is Mr. Buti Kulwane, who is the Deputy Director for Victim Empowerment Program at the Department of Social Development, and also heard from Mr. Mungani Ngomalo, who is a social worker with the Department of Social Development. And that brings us to the end of today's program, where we were talking about the trafficking in human beings or human trafficking. From me, it is a good evening.
Did it.